God has for us today, once Paul gets that up on the screen. And again, if you're joining us here in person or online, we're going to ask you to respond in just a second to the message. Remember, this morning we are continuing in our series on the church alive, working through at least part of the book of Acts. Now, why are we looking at the book of Acts? Well, really, I believe that God wants to do a new thing. God wants to change and shape the church. God, I really think that God wants to help us to become who we are or who we should become. And we understand, thanks David, we understand that after the Gospels comes the books of Acts, and it really is the establishment of God's church. And we saw the way that the church grew. It grew over a million people after Christ's resurrection, and that's our hope and desire, to see the church grow. And so I want to ask you a question today. Has God ever made a personal promise to you? Has He ever made a promise to you specifically? Maybe it's through His Word. Maybe God has said to you that maybe one of your children would come to know Him as Lord and Savior. Or maybe He's said to you, given you a promise through His Word that He would lead you and help you. Has God ever made a promise to you, a personal promise to you? Maybe it's through His Word, or God has spoken audibly to you. Anybody this morning and online, if you're with us, has God said something? Yes, Dave, Deb. Okay, God told Deb that if she would take care of her dad, that He would take care of you. And you testified to that today, Deb, as well, that He's taken care of you with that job. Anybody else? Has God made a promise to you, a personal promise to you? Yes, Tanya. That He'd see you through your darkest hours and always has. Amen. Good. Anybody else? God's spoken audibly to you. Anybody? Amen. Paula said that because I'm repeating these things so the online audience says that God has walked through her through some deep, deep waters. And He promised her He would. Paul, any responses online at all? Are we getting anybody letting us know? Yes, Nick.
Well, similar to my testimony, it was God's
Wow. Hmm.
I'm pretty sure they're both.
They're here. Amen. So the promise of getting through with Laura and Sky. Praise God. Now, maybe for some of you, God has made some promises to you and they have not yet come to pass, that you're still waiting on those promises. Going to live in a mansion is what Flo says. Yeah, that's right. That gun. Yeah. Well, this morning, let's look at another promise that God has made. But before we do, I was reminded of a joke this week. A Sunday school teacher was teaching her Sunday school class, and she wanted to teach them about saying grace before the meal. And so in her class was little Jerry, and Jerry was the pastor's son. And so she says, Jerry, what does your dad say before every meal? And Jerry says, he said, kids, go light on the butter. It's $3 a pound. And so his father understood the promises of God that God would take care of him. He was just trying to help his kids to help God to carry out that problem. Well, this morning, let's turn to our text for today. And would you just please stand for the reading of God's Word? And let's take a moment and pray. Father, we come this morning with excited hearts. Hearts not only that we get to be together, but that we are corporately one with you today. And since we are with you, we know that because of who you are, you desire to speak to us. And so I pray that in this time, that you would allow us to set aside the things that would get in the way, that you would not allow the distractions that are even going on to stop us from hearing what you desire to speak. We're here, Father. We desire you more than anything else. Change us, mold us, make us, correct us if you need to. Speak into our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. And so this morning, if you are taking notes, the outline of the message today is we're going to look at the communion, we're going to look at the command, and we're going to look at the commitment. And so this morning, let's look at the communion. We really now, in our study of the book of Acts, have come to the second sentence in the first chapter of Acts. We said before that the first three verses in the book of Acts really is one sentence. And so we've come to the second sentence. It's interesting that the English Standard Version adds the word "and" to the verse. On the NIV does not do that. And so it says to us that this is connected. It is connected with what Jesus has said. And we understand that Jesus has just come through spending 40 days with his disciples. He has given them infallible proofs of the resurrection, and he has taught them about the kingdom of God. Jesus has spent time with them. And he says to them, or it says, while he was eating with them. This verse gives us the idea of deep intimacy that's taking place. This is the kind of intimacy that Jesus wants to take place with his disciples. He was not interested in a casual conversation. This wasn't about a casual meeting. There is no surface level stuff here. Jesus is getting intimate with his disciples. And let me say to you today, folks, it's too easy. It's too easy to be religious. Because you know what the problem with religion is? The problem with religion is that we can keep God at a distance away from us. We can keep God at hand's breadth and never really allow him to come in and to move upon our hearts and lives. And that's not what Jesus desires. He desires to get close with you. He desires to speak to you. He desires that you would know him in your inmost being. It's interesting that if we really look at the translation of this verse, it is really best translated this way: "And when they were together. Do you see the double word "together"? Again, really, he's calling for a great intimacy. This intimacy that he's talking about is not like the intimacy that you have with somebody at work or somebody that you know their name. It is probably more characterized by the intimacy that you might have with a spouse, where you can tell them all of your secrets, where they know you and you know them and still love each other. In the midst of this kind of intimate gathering, Jesus would reveal the promise of the Father. The disciples would see and understand things that they could never know without this kind of being together. You see, my friends, you don't discover the heart of God by a casual meeting. You don't discover the heart of God when your faith is just about what you do on Sunday morning. You don't discover the heart of God when you just go through the motions of religion, or when you have a checklist that you check off every day to say, well, I'm okay. I did my religious thing and put Jesus back on the shelf. No, Jesus, the kind of intimacy that he's talking about is a God that goes with you and that works through you every day of your life. You see, my friends, without this kind of intimacy, your soul will never be nourished. We find this in corporate worship. You see, we can have the best music, and if you ask me, we do. We have extremely gifted people. We can also have the best preaching, and that's up for debate. But all of those things are lifeless, have hardly any meaning without Jesus' presence. See, my friends, if what you do for Jesus is out of obligation, if what you do for Jesus is because it's the right thing to do, or maybe as Flo said today, that boy, I'm just waiting for that mansion in heaven. If that's what it's all about, oh, my friend, you've missed the boat. It's left the dock. It's way out to sea. Jesus came and died so that you might have intimacy with him and a deep intimacy with him. Let's go on to look at the command. Jesus is making an announcement with the idea of coming alongside of. This phrase, I love this phrase. This phrase has a military flavor. It's kind of the picture of, I don't know about you, but I kind of like war movies. In fact, one of my favorite series is The Band of Brothers. I don't know if many of you have seen that, but now there are some parts in it, I confess to you, that I have to skip over, and the language is real. So understand that. But if you can imagine wartime, and here's the picture. It's the commander down in the trenches. Bullets are flying over the head. Bombs are going off all over the place. And here the commander is speaking a message. And if you can imagine being in the foxhole, being in the trenches, and as the commander speaks, each soldier is passing the message on to one another. And I was thinking, you know, if we don't do our part, what happens? If we don't do our part in sharing this intimacy, what happens? What would happen in that foxhole? What would happen in that trench if one soldier was missed over? Or we just chose we didn't like him, so we skip around him. You know what would happen? He wouldn't follow orders and probably would get killed. Jesus has just come from the cross and has just been resurrected. And now the time has come for God's great plan to be revealed. Jesus gives the order in this intimate experience. He commands them. He says to them, do not leave Jerusalem. We understand that in the first volume, the Gospel of Luke, he says in the last words that he speaks to them, when he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. These words were spoken to the disciples on the Mount of Olives. Now we know that the disciples did not spend the 50 days that they had between when Christ was crucified and Pentecost. They didn't spend it in Jerusalem. According to Matthew, Mark, and John, they went back to Galilee. After the resurrection, Galilee was their home. Jesus gave the Great Commission to them on a mount in Galilee. Jesus met them there. You see, here the disciples were in familiar territory. They knew the landscape. They understood everything about Galilee. They had made their living from the sea in Galilee. The disciples had decided to return back to Galilee to fish. We see it in John's gospel. We see, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. The disciples had been in Jerusalem during the feast of the Passover, and now they had returned to Galilee. But now Jesus calls them back to Jerusalem for this time of his ascension. Jesus lets them know what his desire is for them. Says, don't go back to the comfort of your home. Don't go back to your old patterns. Don't go back to your former business. Jesus is saying, stay here in Jerusalem. Now, wait a minute. You may think, well, that's just some details about where they journeyed. But think about it for a moment. Think about what Jerusalem meant for the disciples. Can you imagine what it must have been like for them to return back to Jerusalem? Everything was going great in Galilee for them. People were following them. Miracles were being done. Jesus was still with them. But what happens when they enter Jerusalem? Christ is crucified. He's taken from them. Their lives are upset. The leaders of the church of Jerusalem are trying to kill them. They've almost become enemies of the state. But yet Jesus commands them to not only to leave and to go, but he commands them to wait in Jerusalem. The idea of this word is to be expecting, to be focused and waiting. It's translated to keep on waiting for. Jesus commands his disciples to remain in the midst of their troubles. Commands them not to run back home to a safe place. They are to do more than just remain in the problems. They are to hope. They are to trust. They are to watch for the promises of God. The disciples will experience, hear this, my friends, the disciples will experience all that Jesus has for them in the midst of their troubles. They are to wait in faith. And we know that they waited for 7 days. In Luke, it says, then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. In the midst of the turmoil of Jerusalem, they were hoping, they were trusting, they were expecting, and they were proclaiming. They fulfilled the commands of Jesus. My friends, we've got to grasp this truth. Jesus calls us to remain in the midst of our troubles. He calls us not to run away, calls us not to go to safety. He calls us not to turn back to our traditions and the ways that has been done before. He calls us to stand on his promises to us. This is where we will find all that God has for us. My friends, it's so easy. You got to catch the point. It's so easy for us when we're in the midst of trials, when we're in the midst of difficulties, when things aren't going right, when it feels like our world is upside down, it's so easy to want to run away. This week, I was looking on Facebook, and I saw somebody come up that I knew all the way back in Las Vegas. And this couple was married before Robin and I were. And I noticed a post on Facebook that she said that she was separated from her husband. Probably married, will be 31 this year, probably 32 years. What a shame. Again, I don't know the details. But my friends, it's so easy for us to run. It's so easy for us to want to get rid of the pain. Another story quickly. About 2 years into the ministry in Lalvo, things broke loose. Maybe I've shared this story before. It got bad. Here we were with a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. Here we were. If things broke loose, we were going to lose our home. We were going to lose our income. We were going to lose everything. It was terrible. I was called names I've never been called before, and I ran bars for a living. And God, without boring you of the details, God, in the midst of those trials, reminded me, spoke to my heart of the words found in Ephesians. Stand. Stand. When you've done everything else, to stand. And my friends, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the difficulties, but hear the message. Believe the message he's trying to say to us today. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's not easy. Standing up here telling you to stand doesn't make the pain go away. But I want to tell you that God is faithful. I want to tell you that he's calling out to you. Stand where you're at, and he will see you through. Let's go on to the last part, the commitment. My friends, it's all about the Father. And he says, wait for the promise of the Father. This is the commitment of the Father to you. The Greek word translated for promise is very significant. It is a promise that is free without solicitation. In other words, it's a promise that he's given without you having to ask for it. The Father has given the promise without any pressure from us. We did not ask him. We did not have anything he wanted. So there's no need to bargain with him. It is a free promise. And the promise comes from the depth of God's love for all of us. All of God's resources are used to fulfill the promise in our lives. God commits himself to us. The promise is ours. And so as we conclude today, Jesus wants to camp out with us. He wants us to be saturated in his presence. And so I ask you today, will you trust Jesus? Will you trust Jesus right where you're at? And in trusting, will you wait for Jesus? Will you wait for him to carry out his promise into your life? And lastly, will you focus on Jesus? Because my friends, if in the midst of life you're focusing upon yourself, if you're focusing upon your problems, then I got to tell you, you're not going to make it. But if you will focus on Jesus, keep your eyes fixed on him and upon what he says, not only what he says as his promises are, but keeping your eyes fixed on him means to keep your eyes fixed upon his character and who he is. Will you keep your eyes fixed on his character? That he loves you more than you can ever understand. And so this morning, as we now turn our attention to communion, hopefully all of you have grabbed the communion elements from the back, that you all have those available. My friends, today as we think of God's promise, as we think of what he has done for us, we see it exemplified here, don't we? We see how much Jesus loves us. We see that he's given the very best for us. And so how can we not trust him? How can we not wait on him? How can we not be faithful when we consider that he's given his very best for us? And so this morning, I'd like us to bow our heads in prayer. And would you just for a moment quiet your heart? And would you see for a moment that Jesus is standing next to you? Would you see for a moment, maybe you need to see today his arms wrapped around you. And would you be willing to commit to him? Would you be willing to lay before him whatever is on your heart? Would you say, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I surrender this to you. Jesus, I'm willing to wait and watch the ways in which you'll work through this. Would you today, as well as you consider that he committed his very life for you, would you be willing this morning to commit your life afresh and anew to him? Would you say to him, Jesus, I'm all yours. Jesus, I need you and I want you. And would this of taking communion cement that in your heart and life? This morning, let's take the bread. Emblem of Christ's broken body for us. Let's take and eat this and remember that Christ gave his body for you. For you. Let's take and eat. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, given freely for you, given at such a high price because you matter, because you're important. Let's take and drink. And so this morning, my prayer for you is that you would live in Christ's victory. My prayer for you is that his presence would be so real that you couldn't deny it. My prayer for you is that you would go out in power this week and for the rest of your life, and that others would see God's work in you and give praise. So let's close our service in prayer. Father, to say thank you for this time just doesn't do it justice. So grateful that you have given to me and to us each other. So grateful that our lives are blessed because of these who are here. And we know, Father, that that is only because of Jesus. It's only because of Jesus that we can come together and that we can experience Jesus' love, not only through Jesus, but through each other. And so now I pray for my brothers and sisters. May they live in your power and in your grace. May you be real to them, and may they be real to their world. Thank you again, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. I love you all.